Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello here from Eastlake High School as the Eastlake Titans get ready to take on the Helix Highlanders. We are lucky to be joined by Ken Rosenthal, MLB on Fox reporter, senior writer for The Athletic, MLB Network insider. Man, you got a lot of titles there, Ken.
I do. More titles than Clue, I think.
But he deserves them all.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. He's one of the best in the business. Ken, let's get started. Let's start with the awards. I mean, we had a local guy that both Chris and I are pretty close to, in John Mayfie, get kind of ridiculed from the New York media about his being the one guy that didn't vote for DeGrom. How did you see it? How did you see that vote shaking out?
Well, I had a vote in the National League Cy Young race. Actually, it was my only vote this year, and I did vote for DeGrom. I didn't think it was particularly close, as much as I loved Scherzer and as good a year as Nola had. What DeGrom did was historic. Now, if you're going to cling to wins and losses, as John seemed to, based on what he wrote, DeGrom's a tough choice. But I think most of us, for better or worse, have kind of come around to the idea that wins are not as valuable as we perceive them to be. In fact, they're not really valuable at all. There are other better measures of a pitcher's performance. And in DeGrom's case, what happened to him with run support was so extreme that it was almost ludicrous judging him on wins and losses. What is he supposed to do? Shut out every night? No. He came darn close to that ERA of his in the one. So, to me, that's how I saw it. I respect everyone's opinion. I respect John's right to have a dissenting vote. I disagree.
Ken Rosenthal is with us from MLB on Fox, The Athletic, and a great MLB insider. Ken, you had mentioned today that, speaking of the Mets, perhaps Noah Syndergaard is somebody that might be on the move. And if so, the Padres either A, might be interested, or B, the Mets might be interested in at least acquiring or inquiring what the Padres might be willing to offer for a guy like that. Is that really something that's possible?
Chris, there's no question the Padres are interested. They were interested at the non-waiver deadline. They remain interested. It is something that they would definitely like to explore, from what I understand. The real question is what the Mets would do. And would they be willing to entertain trading Syndergaard, who has 3 years of control, when they have kind of publicly said that they want to build around their starting pitching, which is among the best in the game? Their owner, Jeff Wilpon, was asked today about the possibility of trading Syndergaard, and he said the deal would have to be, quote, lopsided, unquote. Well, if that's your goal going into a deal, you're not going to make a deal. The Padres are not going to make a lopsided deal for Noah Syndergaard, or any other team won't. What a team would want to do is make a deal in which they believe it's fair value going both ways. Now, that might have just been tough talk from Wilpon, club executives seeking leverage, or it might actually be the Mets' position. We're going to find out. And one of the reasons the Padres, from what I can tell, feel somewhat confident that Syndergaard might get traded is the idea that the Mets are not likely to sign both Syndergaard and Jacob DeGrom to long-term deals. DeGrom 3 years left, Syndergaard 3 years left. The chance of them keeping both at big money, the way they've spent over the years, which has not been reflective of their market size, would seem small. So at some point, you would think the Mets would at least explore this possibility, and I would imagine that's what the Padres are banking on.
Ken, has the Padres' names been in any other possible trade candidates or even free agents at this point?
Will Myers is a guy that they are looking to move, from what I understand, and he is an interesting player. He's got $64 million left on his deal, which makes him rather expensive, and maybe the Padres can find a comparable contract, say a starting pitcher with similar money left, and that would be the way to go. But they're pretty high on Franmil Reyes, and they feel that their outfield is pretty good right now. They don't want to play Myers in third base. That's not going to work. So he is someone that they definitely would be open to. And, Tony, you know this from playing. I'm sure they're talking about 100 things at once, and we don't know 98 of them. So we'll see what happens. But A.J. Preller typically has been aggressive one way or the other, going up or going down. And I would expect he's getting itchy again to compete, not to do anything that would compromise the farm system that they built to a ridiculous extent, but maybe taking some of those assets and trading them for more established assets.
Ken, talking along these same lines as far as the Padres being interested and if they want to move Myers and bring in and maybe be interested in Syndergaard, they certainly have talked openly about wanting to acquire a quality ace type of a pitcher. So it's somebody to anchor the rotation for next year. If it's not Syndergaard, what other names would be out there for them to pursue?
James Paxton from Seattle is definitely available. 2 years of control left with him. He has an injury history. He's never pitched more than 160 innings in a season, so I don't know that he is necessarily the guy. And then another Cleveland pitcher, who are established ace-like pitchers. In fact, Corey Kluber is an ace. Trevor Bauer is an ace. And Carlos Carrasco is darn close. Very in control on those guys. 3 years with Kluber, two with Carrasco, two with Bauer. The price would be high. But any of those guys, I'm sure, Padres fans would like to see in their uniform.
Ken, that would be ironic because very few times does a guy leave the Padres organization and find his way back as an ace like Kluber would be. I want to move to more of a fun topic. Ken, I enjoyed putting on the uniform when I played, and that included the shoes. They recently passed a new kind of, I don't want to say it's a labor rule, but they made some annulments to the rules they had in regards to shoes. What brought this on? Clearly, over the last 2 years, they had to start being pretty lenient because guys seemingly wore whatever they wanted out there. How did they get to this point where they said, okay, this is a little ridiculous. Let's let guys be a little more, have a little more range with these shoes?
They figured out that it was a little ridiculous. And frankly, even new policy does not go far enough. I understand they have certain deals in place and you don't want guys wearing all kinds of crazy colors that are not their team's colors, right? But,
right.
My goodness, here you are. You have a very older audience compared to other sports. You're not attracting young people in the ways that you would like. This is one way to kind of appease the players, make them happy, and maybe get some fans a little bit more interested. Show your sport has a little bit of life to it. So, to me, it was overdue. I don't understand why it took this long, and I don't understand why it's such a big deal in the first place. Sometimes I think that the sport is kind of a fuddy-duddy sport, for lack of a better phrase, and that needs to change, and change in a lot of ways, more meaningful ways, frankly, than shoes. I think we need to not worry so much about who's flipping their bat and embrace those who are flipping their bat. And I'm not talking... You know this. There's a fine line between doing something to show emotion and disrespecting your opponent. No one's talking about disrespecting your opponent and making that a good thing. But can guys do more and act more free on the field and have that be okay? Yeah, that should be happening all the time. And we're getting there, but man, it's slow.
Yeah, they move slow in baseball. That's
the baseball way right
now. Not
there.
Fast enough for Tony Gwynn Jr. because he, the first time he sees somebody wearing some fun-looking shoes next year, he's going to really be angry that he never got a chance to do so. Hey, Ken, thanks so much for the time. Great insight. Love your work on both television and love reading your stuff. And it's a real pleasure having you on our show.
Yes,
thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, guy. Pleasure's mine. Take care, guys.